following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
Perhaps a well-meaning friend has asked you this question: have you been saved? How did you answer? You might be shocked to learn what the Bible really teaches on the subject. Some believe that they can commit any sin and still be saved. Others are very insecure and frightened about losing their salvation. Just what is salvation? You need to know the truth. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Richard Ames asked, "What do you mean, salvation?" And now, Richard Ames.
Warm greetings to you all. Are you saved? For some, that's an embarrassing question. Many feel it's a question below their intelligence. But most will acknowledge that mankind desperately needs to be saved, even if only from its own extinction. In 1961, President John F. Kennedy stated, "Mankind must put an end to war, or war will put an end to mankind." Today, every inhabitant of this planet must contemplate the day when this planet may no longer be habitable. Together we shall save our planet, or together we shall perish in its flames. 40 years after President Kennedy's warning, the threat has only grown worse. Today we face even greater threats of biological and chemical warfare. Millions have become fearful of even opening their mail because of biological weapons. Terrorism has brought war to America's own soil. Disease, famine, pestilence, and other natural disasters are sweeping the globe, made worse by mankind's abuse of the environment. Can anyone doubt that unless God intervenes, humanity will destroy itself? Jesus Christ warned of these threats and more. The earth, you and I, and all humanity need to be saved. If you have a Bible, and we always encourage you to join us on this program with your Bible, turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Here is the famous Olivet prophecy. It's called that because Jesus delivered these prophecies on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem. Here Jesus warned us of dangerous times ahead, of wars, earthquakes, and deadly diseases. He warned us of mass destruction and the ultimate disaster. Matthew 24, verse 21. "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." Here's a future event prophesied as unique in all history. And we know there will be a future Armageddon, as outlined in the book of Revelation. Human beings are headed for a World War III and total oblivion. Nations and peoples have not yet learned one of the greatest lessons of history. That lesson is, human governments and institutions apart from the government of God and the way of God will only bring upon all of us total cosmicide, total destruction. We as the human race need rescuing from death and oblivion. Thank God those days will be shortened, as Jesus promised in Matthew 24, verse 22. Now, given the sobering reality of the future, no one should be embarrassed to ask about spiritual salvation. So what about you? Will you be saved spiritually? Will you be dead for all eternity at the end of this life? Or will you live for all eternity in splendor, majesty, and joy beyond your wildest dreams? First of all, we need to ask the question, what do you need to be saved from? One of the answers is obvious. You and I need to be saved from death. Turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 9. In spite of some wild dreams of science, there's no way you can avoid death. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. "It is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." We need to be saved from death, not only physical death, but the judgment of eternal death in a lake of fire, as revealed in the 20th chapter of Revelation. Contrary to what is commonly taught, the wicked do not burn as immortal souls forever in hellfire. They're consumed. They are burned up and destroyed, as Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 28. Fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Yes, God is much more powerful than many religions teach. They don't believe Jesus. They don't think God is able to destroy souls. But the truth is, God is able to destroy both body and soul in hell, or in Gehenna, as in the original Greek. The hell spoken of in Matthew 10 is the lake of fire, described in Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15. Then death and Hades, meaning the grave, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The Bible states that this is the second death, an eternal death from which there is no resurrection. We've discussed the full topic of hell in previous programs. So what do you need to be saved from? From the penalty of eternal death. Death from which there is no resurrection. And what is the cause of that penalty? The answer is one of the most fundamental truths in your Bible. You should know this verse by heart. Romans 6, verse 23. Turn in your Bible to Romans 6 and verse 23. Be sure to mark this verse. Even pray about it. Think about it in relation to your own life and the nature of all human beings for that matter. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What you earn by your natural human conduct, your thoughts, and your way of living is death. Death forever. But God has a plan of salvation. He wants to give us the gift of eternal life. That gift can only come to us through the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. In the dramatic days following the establishment of the New Testament church, the Apostle Peter made a powerful statement. Turn in your Bible to Acts, the third chapter. Realize there are false messiahs that are preached in the world. So you must discover the true Messiah, the true Christ of your Bible. God performed a great miracle of healing a man lame from birth. The apostles Peter and John were at the temple, where the lame man begged for money. Then Peter said to him in Acts 3 and verse 6, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." The man who'd never walked before began leaping and walking. This great healing performed through the authority of Jesus' name gave the apostles even more opportunity to preach the gospel. The temple authorities didn't care for the attention the people gave the apostles, so they called them before the Sanhedrin, the council of elders and rulers. This is how the apostle Peter responded, Acts 4 and verse 9. "If we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." As Peter proclaimed, there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So it's up to you to discover the true Jesus of the Bible. Read about him in the Gospels. Read the first four books of the New Testament. And if you do it with an open mind, you'll discover a different Jesus than that commonly presented to the world. My friends, the Jesus of the Bible did not do away with the Ten Commandments. The Jesus of the Bible did not do away with the way of life based on the law of God. It is the law of love, but it must be obeyed, not denigrated and denounced as some false preachers are doing. Jesus taught from the Scriptures, the Hebrew Scriptures. He taught from the Old Testament Scriptures, which were the only inspired writings of his time. The New Testament had not been written. Jesus taught in Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." And that's a quote from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3. Salvation comes only through Jesus Christ. But be sure you know that it is the true Jesus of the Bible. Jesus taught a whole way of life. That way of life is the way of godly love, of sharing, serving, and giving. That's what produces true happiness. God's love is so great, He wants to give you eternal life as a free gift. But what would you do for all eternity? Will you do nothing for all eternity? To help you answer that question, I'd like to offer you this free booklet entitled Your Ultimate Destiny. This booklet gives you the exciting, incredible information from your Bible that reveals a wonderful destiny that is far beyond the limited concepts of most professing Christians. This booklet, Your Ultimate Destiny, will give you hope and vision for the ultimate salvation God is preparing for you. So pick up the telephone right now and request your free copy, Your Ultimate Destiny.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
In the first part of our program, we saw that you and I need to be saved. We saw that Jesus Christ came to save mankind and to give us a way of life, His way of life, and to teach us to live by every word of God. Just what is the salvation that Christ came to offer us? Certainly we need to be saved from the penalty of sin. And what is that penalty? Eternal death, from which there is no resurrection. Sin cuts us off from God. So how can we be reconciled to God? The amazing truth is, we can be forgiven of our sins through Christ's sacrifice, through His shed blood. Open your Bibles to one of the most inspiring and important passages of Scripture in the New Testament, Romans the 5th chapter. Notice who it was that Christ died for. Romans 5 and verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Yes, He died for the ungodly, you and me. Continue in verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The very Son of God gave His life for you and me. Remember the story announcing the coming of the Messiah? The Virgin Mary was pregnant, and the angel appeared to her betrothed husband Joseph in a dream, and spoke to him. Matthew 1, verse 20. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Yes, Jesus came to save us from our sins, not in our sins. He suffered and bled and died on the cross. My friends, I hope you understand the great sacrifice that God the Father and His Son has made for you. You have an opportunity to begin a new life. You can be forgiven of all your past sins. You've been separated from the love of God. Now you can be reconciled to God. You can be justified or made right with God. Notice this inspiring passage again in Romans, the 5th chapter. Mark it in your Bible. Become familiar with it. Think about it in relation to your own life. Romans 5 and verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Christ's blood justifies us. We're reconciled by the death of Christ. We're justified, made right with God. But did Jesus' death save us once and for all, as so many believe? Many think that Jesus' death saved us totally and completely for all eternity. They think that if you've accepted Christ's shed blood and you are, quote, once saved, always saved. Is that true? Now think for just a moment. If that were true, then there would be no need of Jesus' resurrection. The Apostle Paul made that clear in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 16. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. So we see that the death of Christ reconciles us to God. And in that limited sense, we are saved from the death penalty. We are saved from our past sins. But as we saw in Romans 5:10, we shall be saved by His life, not His death. Christ is alive as our living Savior, so that He may come and bring us complete and ultimate salvation at the resurrection. The idea of once saved, always saved, only applies after the resurrection when we receive ultimate salvation. Only then will we be saved for all eternity. You see, there's a past, present, and future application of salvation. Frankly, the common religious teachings about salvation are totally inadequate and misleading. Salvation is not just a past event. Remember Romans 5:10? We shall be saved, future tense, by His life. Jesus also stated in Matthew 24, verse 13, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Now notice what the Bible says about the ongoing process of being saved. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 2, verse 15, for example. The Apostle Paul refers to the knowledge of Christ as a pleasant fragrance. He states, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved, and among those who are perishing. Yes, there are those who are being saved, now in the present. And there are those who are perishing, now in the present. We're in the process of being saved. We must be maturing spiritually and growing spiritually once we've received the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, and this is very important, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we are ultimately saved by the death of Christ, there'd be no need to grow spiritually. But we are now being saved. So we see there's a future aspect of salvation, a present aspect of salvation. What about the past? Turn to Titus, the third chapter, and verse 4. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Here we're told that according to God's mercy, He saved us. And what is the washing of regeneration the Apostle Paul refers to? The Apostle Paul is referring to baptism, after which God gives repentant sinners the gift of the Holy Spirit. As we've seen in previous programs on this subject, the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost boldly told thousands of people to repent and be baptized. Let's read that in Acts 2 and verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 3,000 people were baptized that day. They were immersed in water. They followed the instructions of a servant of God. And yet today, many professing Christians reject those biblical instructions. Amazing! Baptism is the beginning step toward an exciting future and our ultimate destiny. The sponsor of this program, the Living Church of God, has ministers throughout the United States and Canada and many other nations. If you would like to talk to one of our ministers in your area, just tell the operator when you call to request your free literature. Or you can write to the nearest regional office, listed in our bi-monthly magazine, Tomorrow's World. God wants you and His family forever. And if He's calling you now, you need to respond. How? read Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You can seek the eternal God by calling on him, by getting down on your knees and confessing your sins, your feelings of inadequacy, your need for his salvation through Jesus Christ. If you've never gotten down on your knees in humble reverence before the Creator of the universe, you need to. Remember what the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 3:14? He wrote, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." The Creator of the universe wants a personal relationship with you. He has a plan of salvation for you and for all humanity, a plan very few understand. To help you in your study of the Bible, and to help you understand your amazing future potential, I'd like to offer you this free booklet entitled, Your Ultimate Destiny. Many professing Christians have a very vague and fuzzy idea what life will be like after death. Some think they will be riding around on clouds, doing virtually nothing for all eternity. You need this booklet. It'll give you the exciting truth about your potential and God's exciting plans for you. You'll come to understand what real salvation is. And this free booklet will give you a vision for a wonderful future. So pick up the telephone right now and request your free copy, Your Ultimate Destiny.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insight on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Is it possible for one to fall away and lose his salvation, even after becoming a converted Christian? Many believe it's not possible to fall away once you've supposedly been saved. And yet the Bible gives us several warnings. The Bible exhorts us to be diligent in our Christian calling. The Apostle Paul realized that unless he remained close to his Savior in an intimate relationship, he could fall away. Or as he refers to it in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, he could become a castaway. He also gave us this exhortation in Philippians 2 and verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Is Paul here saying that you can earn your own salvation? Not at all. He's saying that we must be committed to always being a yielded, humble, willing attitude of obedience and responsiveness to our Savior. The NIV Study Bible makes this comment regarding Philippians 2:12. Work it out to the finish, not a reference to the attempt to earn one's salvation by works, but to the expression of one's salvation in spiritual growth and development. Salvation is not merely a gift received once for all. It expresses itself in an ongoing process in which the believer is strenuously involved. The process of perseverance, spiritual growth, and maturation. This is what the Apostle Paul spoke about in 1 Corinthians 9 when he discussed the need to discipline himself. The NIV Study Bible refers to Matthew 24:13 in this context. We previously quoted it. But Jesus said, "He who endures to the end shall be saved." Now, how do you work out your own salvation according to Philippians 2:12? Notice the next verse. It gives us the answer. Philippians 2, verse 13. "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure." We're weak, fleshly human beings, but God promises to give us spiritual power to overcome our human nature. It's by Christ living in us through the Holy Spirit that we gain the victory. Remember Romans 5:10? We shall be saved by His life. Let's briefly summarize. Many believe that salvation is only a past event. You just accept Jesus as your Savior and that's it. You're supposedly once saved, always saved. But we saw from the Scriptures that salvation has a past, present, and future application. Past, Titus 3, verse 7, according to His mercy He saved us. Present, 2 Corinthians 2:15, those who are being saved. Future, Romans 5:10, we shall be saved by His life. So if someone were to ask you the common question, are you saved? A truly converted Christian could answer, I have been justified, redeemed, or saved from my past sins. I am now being saved as I grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and I shall ultimately be saved by Christ's life. And when will this ultimate salvation take place? The completion of our salvation occurs at the resurrection. Notice this inspiring chapter, the resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15. Let's start in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. My friends, we do not already have immortality. We are mortal. As the Scripture states, this mortal must put on immortality. That's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 53. When Christ returns, faithful Christians will inherit the kingdom of God. They will be transformed from flesh to spirit. They will be glorified as God's immortal children. That's when we will finally be saved. That is the ultimate salvation God has promised to you and me as Christians. Dr. Meredith and I will continue to share with you the exciting revelations of the Bible and where our world is headed. You need to watch world trends in the light of Bible prophecy. Be sure to call or write for your inspiring free booklet, Your Ultimate Destiny. And be sure to join us again next week, right here, at this same time.
The informative booklet offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304. San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.